Three, two, one.
Digging in the crates. Digging in the crates. Digging in the crates. Digging in the crates. Let's take it back.
Back to the beginning of time. Way back.
Way back in town.
The Troglodytes.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Just chilling. Let me see. So we're back. Digging your crates. And we were just catching up a little bit.
We got issues. You know, we have some deep-seated issues. We all do.
Issues and episodes.
On this damn show.
You had some issues, man. And this is something when I first heard about it, I said I wanted to ask you guys' opinion. Did you guys hear the game talk about the list of girls that he smashed?
Panther? I bet it's extensive.
No.
I gotta imagine it's extensive.
What did he say? He gave names or he's just talking numbers?
He gave names.
Oh, yeah, of course he's gonna name names.
None of the women came out and said, nope, it ain't true. He gave names.
Well, I think there's like I don't know if it was on TMZ or something. He did one of those Sharif photos with his junk out or something, right? And it was like, I think he's packing heat. I don't think those chicks are gonna say no.
But think about this. One thing that he did say, he said Kim and I think Chloe.
A threesome?
Nah, he just banged them at different times and was like,
well, good for him.
Kim was better.
What about the mom? Mom play a role in any of this?
She filmed it.
Oh, okay.
She probably did.
Now we're talking.
She collected.
Right.
Well, now one of them's dating Travis Barker or something, right?
That's Chloe, I believe. Or
wow.
No.
Wow.
Not Courtney. What's up? Courtney.
Courtney. Yeah, Courtney. So I think it was Kim and Courtney.
He said three. So this is three Kardashian women.
Oh, he said three.
That's what this article is headlining.
Let's see. The mom was in there.
Let's get in here. Said, come on, girls.
Wait a minute.
She's not a Kardashian
Isn't Bruce Jenner one of the women in up too?
He's in there. Chris is like, come on.
Wait a minute.
You're coming to this
Bruce
side. You're getting work.
Is now one of the women.
Yeah.
In the Kardashian women.
He is. He's definitely holding it down. But he's
now I'm gonna have game chasing and Lisa Ray fighting too. Me or something.
He banged Lisa Ray.
Now I used to think Lisa Ray was man.
Yeah,
I thought she was fine. And then remember she was like a Budweiser spokesmodel for a while because I'd go into the liquor store and I'd see a Lisa Ray or I don't know what liquor company she was. I go, damn, that's Lisa Ray. And because there's a life size cutout, I go, whoa, I thought Lisa Ray was in the liquor store because she's standing right there by the refrigerator.
She like Billy.
Come over here. I'm like, yeah. She was in Players Club, right? The Players Club.
Yep, she was in that Players Club. But the crazy thing about it is, like, how do you feel about kissing and telling? Like, you know, is it like
a
statute of limitations? Is it like, you know what I'm saying?
I think deathbed. I think on your deathbed, you can let it all out. You can say, yeah.
what if you
tell it all?
What if your career's dead and you want to resuscitate, you know? You got to get yourself out there.
Right, if your career,
you
is
feel
on
like you got
bed.
Nothing to lose. You're like, let's go.
What didn't he recently say he's the best rapper to come out of Compton?
Like, I think probably I could see him saying that.
Like better than Kendrick? What?
No, that's
I don't know.
Kendrick is the best rapper, I think.
Right, and here's a topper, Eazy-E, who had to rhyme every single line. He was better in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, Eazy-E was definitely better.
I mean, he had more character, more characteristic in his vocals. I would pick Eazy-E over the game any day of the week, 100%.
Yeah, I second it. I second it. I think, to me, Game, his rap style is okay. I think most of his stuff is more manufactured to the point where it's like, I don't think it's authentically him. I think he's just doing stuff because... You know,
that's what he thinks.
It's popular.
He needs to do.
Or this is what I need to say. I need to do this and do that. Versus just like doing straight off the dome what you feel is.
I like what 50 Cent said. 50 Cent said, "Yeah, I'll do a verses with him as long as he can't use the songs that I'm on."
That's all of them. Oh man, that was that.
Yeah, yeah.
That
was a low then that never happened. I guess that never materialized. Yeah, I'll battle him. He just can't use any of the songs I'm on. Oh well, cancel that.
Wow, just wiped out his catalog.
Check my whole catalog. But you know what I heard? Like back in the day, they say the Game was really like a freestyle, like. Artist, like he could really freestyle. I've never heard it.
Well, he had that one album where he just flowed all the way through. There was no chorus. It was just non-stop. It was a mixtape. It wasn't like a album. Okay. There were no singles, but the beats would change, but his voice just kept going all the way through. And then that's kind of what he ended up being known for. So that was after all of his single work and his regular albums. But that mixtape was dope.
Snoop was like that too though, right? Snoop used to do that with like freestyle and stuff.
It just go
off the dome. Yeah. And I think that's how he got kind of noticed with Warren G and that whole crew before.
Well, you think about it, most people who start off rapping don't understand structure. It's not till they get with a producer. No. So they write rhymes. They don't write hooks in their rhymes. They just write the rhyme. They go from A to Z, and they just go, the end.
That's facts, because I recorded many artists that didn't know how to count bars.
Right.
And I would have to tell them, hey, man, that's 12 to 16.
Need a little more.
That's 24. Oh, 32.
Little less.
I got 100 bars. I'm going over 100 bars.
103.
Like, nah, man, we're making a song, bro.
That's a fact.
Yeah,
you gotta break it up. Yeah, it's definitely a fact. Yeah, you gotta break it up. But that, yeah. I mean, I think one thing about artists like that, it's like, no, I don't know any artist today that was like known as like a supreme freestyler that broke over to like, you know what I'm saying, mainstream music.
I think it's two different art forms. That's the thing. Like, I watched this guy. Man, he's like probably the dopest freestyler out there right now. I'm a locksmith. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the locksmith?
Mm-hmm.
I heard him and I was like, wow, this guy is amazing freestyler. I just couldn't put it together in my head how he would ever transition to a mainstream hip hop artist.
He didn't really. I mean, he came in second, right? When the MTV rap battle.
When they
did that.
And I can't remember, but
they think that there's supposed to be controversy because they gave it to an East Coast cat, you know, who was over there in New York or whatever.
Is he a West Coast guy?
He's from the Bay Area.
See? That's how much I know.
I think he's from the North Bay, too. Like,
really?
I think so.
This guy, I'm telling you, I saw him on like Sway's on Sway's show. Fat Joe was there, too. And the locksmith went in. I go, this guy is super talented
during the whole hyphy era. And so he came back and he got into all the hyphy songs, and he was doing stuff with like EA Ski and
wow,
yeah,
he's probably going to see like fuck Billy Vidal.
He's like, dude, he's like, I worked for you in three of your clubs.
I worked for you all those years. I kept handing you my demos and you were like, yeah, I'll listen to it, and you never listened to it, you son of a bitch.
Carried your crates, man.
Hey, Billy, guess where he's from?
Richmond.
Right? He's like,
and I thought locksmith, the guy wanted to fix my locks on the house. So that's why I didn't like that's
the
that's
real cool. Locksmith, huh?
Damn.
Is there
any controversy now?
Any controversy between the rapper locksmith and the locksmith that fixed your locks?
Yeah, that's it. They got beef. So you know, I'm not trying to take any sides. The guy who fixed my house has the keys. That's so I don't want to make him mad.
You got Roxanne Shante. You got the real Roxanne.
Wow,
you
the got guy's locksmith. From, come on, that guy's from Richmond? Really?
Yeah, man. You got locksmith. He's from the Bay. He's a Bay Area rapper.
The guy's super talented, man.
There you go.
You might be thinking of someone else.
No, I'm not, man. I think it was locksmith.
He's that talented, huh?
I'm telling you, he's that talented.
What's your favorite song from him?
No. I'm just saying as far as a rapper. My favorite song.
No,
what had happened was...
Right.
So he was in the thing. I think Naki. The point is what Naki is saying is that there's these guys that are like amazing. They go off the top of their head. They have such a vocabulary. They can tell this amazing story in this short period of time. And then you're like, oh, that's great. But I don't know how that translates to a hit song.
I got a story for you, right? This guy, his name's Dino DeValle, right? He signed Cash Money to their $30 million deal back in whatever, 99, 98. He was at Universal at the time, right? He, at the time when he was, when he signed Cash Money, I was actually on the radio in Chicago, and it was this rapper named Corona Brone, freestyle king, Chicago cat. He was cold. You could point to something and he'll rap about it, and it just sounds great. He had a great tone. This guy was great. So one day we met with Dino, just, you know, talking to him or whatever, and, you know, about records and stuff, about what's hot in Chicago, what's the next thing, because after that he signed Crucial Conflict from Chicago. So he signed them first, actually.
Okay.
And then signed Cash Money after that. But we was talking about what's the next thing in Chicago. He was like, I got this kid, man. His name Corona. He's from Chicago. You know him? I said, yeah, I know him. He said, he's a hell of a freestyler. He said, but you know what, man? I don't think he can make any records. I said, really? So he played me a couple of songs that they had did. And the songs was decent. Then he sampled New Edition, My Kind of Girl. And it was like, oh, girl, I'm sorry. And he like rapped over that part. You know, it was, you know, the beat was cold. It was like it was a decent song. But he just was not feeling it. He was like, I don't think this guy can make records. And he didn't get signed. He didn't get signed for that particular reason.
Wow.
Well, do you guys think Mr. Fab did it?
I think Mr. Fab first of all, he's a great freestyler. I mean, he's probably one of the best. I think that he just surrounded himself with enough guys that work, you know, like E-40, Too Short, and to spend time in the studio with those guys, just even if you're just in there by osmosis, you learn structure, because he's like going, oh, well, I can't do that. You know, I can't do this freestyle the way they're doing their songs. So you have to learn structure, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying, do you think he crossed over as the freestyle king? Mr. Fab, yeah. Did he put together an album?
I think he had moderate success. I don't think he was like super successful. You know, he had some decent records, like they did pretty good. But when I'm saying crossing over to like
mainstream, talking about platinum.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing. I agree. Like
Yeah, but I will say he's a trailblazer to get into that next side, because he experienced a lot of it, because, you know, even like with a lot of his features that he was doing with a lot of other bigger artists that brought him in, you know what I'm saying? So you got to give him credit for that. So I would say he's a trailblazer in making that transition.
Yeah, I mean, because he took over like Hyphy, you know, with Kick the Sneak. And then I feel more like E-40 kind of jumped on their thing. That, you know,
well, I think
that they set.
What happened? Like, it just kind of sad what happened with that hyphy movement, because the beats go. I mean, you could put on a hyphy song right now, and you're like, oh man, those beats go. It's just, to me, it's like, it's weird that the rest of the country didn't get on board with that sound. And I don't know if it was just because it was coming from the Bay, but those are good songs. I mean, those songs, you could put them on, go, man.
I think it's a Bay Area thing, because I think you could hear similar sounds in Atlanta. And
But you got to look at... Right, go ahead.
I was just going to say, producers were working with each other back and forth, you know, from Atlanta.
When you think about it, I'm looking at how Chicago had drill music.
Yeah, because I don't know what drill music is.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It took a minute for drill music to become popular. Mm-hmm. And when drill music became popular, different regions started to produce their own drill sound. Like, for instance, you had Chief Keef, you had Lil Durk, you had rappers.
That's what I think people are saying, because from that sound came DJ Mustard. And if you hear like what DJ Mustard was doing, that's why Fab had so much beef with.
That's it. Maybe DJ Mustard's sound killed Hyphy, because it's not the same sound.
No, it's not, but it's so similar. That's the thing.
It's similar, yeah. But it's not the same. It's like, I mean, some of the, don't get me wrong, everything knocks, but
right.
A lot of the sounds that were used in some of the traditional hyphy music aren't used in what Mustard's doing.
Right.
He's using more traditional sounds like synths and moogs and different things like that, which is more popularized in music. The other producers that did the hyphy music were using more distinctive, obscure sounds to try to, you know, create their own lane.
Yeah.
So if other regions pick that up and start like reproducing that sound, then that's probably why it didn't become, you know, mass appeal.
Okay. Yeah, because it just seems like a lot of times regions dictate sales and they dictate popularity, and the Bay used to be like one of those regions. It felt like the Bay was like, you know, like a sound would come out of the Bay Area and it could go across the country, not necessarily hit New York, but it could, the south would pick up on the Bay Area sound. It would, just like the Bay would pick up on the south, you know, the southern sound, the Midwest sound, the southern sound. It just didn't seem like it crossed. It went across the Rockies for some reason.
I think it did.
Like,
I just did that. Hit a wall.
Couldn't get that elevation.
this is what I think. I think mainly the Bay Area and Chicago were kind of stripped of some of the stuff that we were doing that was regional to our market that took over nationally, but somebody else took it and decided to do what they wanted to do with it. Case in point, if you look back when Do or Die, Twister from Chicago, Crucial Conflict were doing their music, people don't realize this, but one of the guys from Do or Die was complaining because Jermaine Dupri and Usher stole his flow.
Is that right. Nice and Slow?
That song, Nice and Slow, right? They stole B-Lo's flow. B-Lo from Do or Die, he had that same flow. That's and Cadence and Paul Pimp.
Yeah.
He was so mad about that,
but R&B artists always steal somebody's flow. Like, you know, I'll be sure stole Slick Rick's flow, right?
But it's different in rap, you know, because rap people don't do it, but when you got an R&B person doing it, now it's more so like it's okay to take from the rapper.
Right.
But a rapper cannot take from a rapper, right?
Rapper can't take from a
rapper. That's a clear defined line. Yeah.
So they utilize these singers to take certain stuff from the rappers. I get
it. To grab that feeling and still be able to use it.
And still be able to use it.
I like it.
That's good.
I like how you brought this back around.
Wow, that's nice.
I like it.
The Bay Area and Chicago are victims of that because it's happened. And then if, like I was saying, how regionally they take stuff, New York has their own drill sound, which like Pop Smoke was the guy that was the head of that. It's different from the stuff that Chicago produced, but it's kind of similar.
But do you think Pop Smoke would have been as big as if he didn't get killed?
I'm gonna tell you like this: that album is crazy.
I know, but I mean, do you think anybody was gonna pay attention to that? The album's crazy.
You know, but he had his own movement. The guy had a tour set up in March of 2020. He had like 15 dates that he was doing a tour for his mixtape and EP. It was all set. He was going to come to Chicago. He's going to come to a few other places. And, I mean, in a blink of an eye, he was just murdered. He's gone.
It's crazy to me because he sounds exactly like 50 Cent to me.
He does. Yep.
Yeah, like he just sounds. And he said, you know, that that's who his idol was. That's who his rap idol was. It just seems to me, if you just replaced all of Pop with 50, then 50 would have a career again, like a hip hop career.
And just plug them in.
Same flow. It's a plug and play. I don't know. I mean, to me,
it is very similar. A lot of the cadence, a lot of the sounds.
Yeah.
It's very similar. But to answer your question, I don't know if he would have had the success right away because Radio was just warming up to his songs. They wasn't really playing them a lot. They were warming up to it, but after he was killed, even like Nicki Minaj jumped on his Dior song. He had a song called Dior.
Right.
And she did the remix to it, and she crushed it. You know what I'm saying? But he still was kind of bubbling under. And then the minute he got killed, it's just like,
yeah,
everything just took off.
Yeah, because even then I started like listening. I go, let me listen to these tracks. And I listen, I go, man, this song, really good music. I mean,
Song is the song Diana. Did you guys heard that one? They sampled Timbaland's group Player, Cheers to You, the song Cheers to You. And he has a Puff song, Puff Sons on there. King Combs is rapping on there.
Oh, wow.
Hey, it's man, that's a dope song. It's like a slow jam, but it's really good.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I think his success probably would have came in a longer.
It took a little bit longer,
but yeah, I just think that him getting killed, that kind of, you know, pushed it up for him.
Yeah. So what are you binge watching on Netflix right now? Anything?
Let me see. Let me think about that, Michael.
I binge watched this thing called Lupin or something like that, and it's just like this character. He's a French character. It's like filmed in France, and he like takes on these different characters, and he like, you know, he's trying to avenge his father's death and all. I binged watched it the other night, and I was like, man, this is a really good show. It just, now I heard the guy on another show I watched with my wife the other night. I forgot the name of it, but it was really good too. And he's actually speaking French, and it was subtitled. I go, man, they totally killed this guy. Because it's dubbed in English. So I watched it backwards. So I watched the one that, you know, that's French the other night. And this guy's got like a real masculine voice. You know,
oh, then they
French foot. So then I watched the Lupin guy. He's like, yeah, I was like, wow. Oh, this guy doesn't know he's being like, his voice is being just destroyed by somebody in America overdubbing his vocals.
Somebody made that decision. Let's use that voice for that guy.
Hey, this looks really fabulous over here. Let's keep it moving.
It's like we have so much going on. It's like with I mean, I got the HBO Max. I got I got
Watch that Denzel? Did you watch the Denzel movie?
I did.
Now, what'd you think?
I thought it was good, but
I thought it was good too.
I thought it was good, but the only thing that kind of we went back and forth with was when. Should we give away the
spoiler alert? All right, it's good. It's good. Spoiler alert on the Denzel movie.
All right,
we don't even know the name of it. We just watched
all of them. All of Denzel's movies.
when he purchased the Borat and the red Borat, and he gave it to the guy. Remember, the guy quit his job. The guy. Yeah. And he was at home, and that officer came to his house and brought him that.
Oh, yeah.
Denzel bought those.
No, I know, to ease that guy's pain because he
thought. Right. So it was kind of like, yeah, because he didn't want him to go through the same thing.
What I didn't like though, because you know Denzel's like, you know, he's very dramatic and you know he had the pictures there and he stayed in that you know flea bag motel while he was there working the case.
Right.
You know, it's the prostitute motel, and I go. And I didn't get why they made the one woman like come up through Denzel's legs, right? She's down there in his leg. Like that made no sense to me. And it tied into, it didn't even tie it into the movie. I'm like, why'd they have to make Denzel seem like he had a hooker in the room when it wasn't even the case.
Right. Like, yeah. It was a few things in there that kind of threw me off.
They just kind of throw him in there. Like, that's just
It was like
little this, little that.
I didn't understand why he was so the guy. What's the guy that played the other character? The Freddie Mercury guy that played Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, that guy is a weird. He looks like a lizard to me. he's like,
I didn't understand why he was so like. Like eager to like jump
dig
in
a hole.
No, you know how you just jumped in the car with
leave your partner. That you don't do that.
And just leave your partner and you just don't like do that. You know. Yeah. I'm like, bro, you know, I didn't understand that. I mean, any person realistically probably wouldn't have did that.
Never, ever, ever. But I'll tell you what, Jared Leto. You couldn't tell that with Jared Leto. He played a good part. Good.
He played that.
I can't wait to see him as Joker again.
That's pretty cool too.
Yeah, that's good. I'll tell you what is on super duper replay in my house right now is Cobra Kai.
You guys are still watching that?
So, no, I'm not. I watched it all. I loved it. And you know, I didn't watch it for the martial arts. I watch it for the entertainment. The
martial arts kind of phony, but it's still right. good.
But
it's
it was even like the drama is phony, but I just like it because it's so phony. I'm like, this is so corny. I love it. It's so corny.
It's the Sharknado of karate movies.
But my son Jackson, he just turned 6. This dude is off the charts.
He's obsessed with it.
He's obsessed. And I'm like this big punching bag that walks through the house. I can just be walking along, minding my own business. It's like, pow, elbow. I'm like, oh, what was that for? Nothing. Pow. I'm like, what? And he watches them on repeat. He's like, I'm like, hey, Jackson, can I watch the news? No. I'm like, okay, no problem. No problem. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Do you know what's a good show that Netflix had last couple years? You remember All American?
Yes, I liked it.
I love All American, but CW snatched it back.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
So now the third season, you only can watch it on every Monday on CW. Now that it got popular. You get what I'm saying? It's like you gave the show but you know what?
Shout out to Dave Chappelle for getting his show back.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right. That's so amazing that you imagine being that powerful to finally be powerful enough to get your name back, get your show back, get paid for the work you've done.
That's amazing, man.
Amazing. Because it never happens. It never happens today.
It doesn't. And regardless of what, you know, business is and how business goes, nobody should be screwed out of their intellectual property.
Oh, man, come on.
I mean, if that's your idea, you created that. I mean, at least have, if not half say so, have all say so in it because it's your stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think he said what he said was because he quit the show, he lost his rights to the show because he quit.
Like surrendered him.
But that don't negate him writing the stuff.
Right. It doesn't justify the situation.
Stuff. Right. But that's how they think. It's like, you know, and I'm glad he took a stand because that's going to change the way.
For a lot of people. That's going to help a lot of people. It's
going to help a lot of people going forward.
So I want the Dave Chappelle contract.
What if I quit?
Give me the Chappelle show contract. I want the Dave Chappelle contract moving forward.
I want the DC special. That's what I need on this contract. That's really good for him. I'm happy that happened. And
cool. Well, hey, how's the weather out there before we wrap this up? I just want to make sure you're okay.
Man, it's freezing, brother.
It's freezing, huh?
Freezing. We had
snow,
like lots of
snow.
Finally got it. Remember a couple weeks ago, I was like, it was a cool winter. I spoke too soon. So it's better now, but a few days ago, oh boy,
it was cold
and a lot of snow.
Someone posted a picture. Yeah, it's fine over here. Somebody posted a picture of, I think it was like inside of a restaurant, like a Chinese restaurant or something in Texas. They looked at the fish tank. The fish tank was frozen solid. Can you imagine being that fish in there? Go, man, come on, just today, turn the heater on. Make this a jacuzzi, please. Cook me.
It's
frozen solid. It was crazy.
It has like a block of ice. You can see the little fish on the side. That was crazy.
I bet if they thaw that out, those fish are still alive. I've seen some stuff like that.
Some cryo.
I've seen the cryogenic stuff.
Right, they go
Walt
right,
Disney.
Freeze me.
Man, it's been a minute, so we got to. We'll come up with some kind of schedule for you people one of these days.
Yeah, we definitely have to do that because I think we owe them that.
Yeah, at least that. Oh, one last thing. I'm out. I just want to let you guys know I'm out. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Oh, okay.
I'm done. I'm not spending another dime.
No more.
My brother-in-law, Michael, kept like talking to me about this. And yeah, of course, I'm not.
I wasn't talking you into it, though.
Oh no, you talked me into it. when he started, you know, then I started seeing guys, oh, $1 million Jordan card, $1 million. I'm like, $1 million for a trading card? I'm in.
So you're buying those now?
I bought so many of them, and then I say, hey, and they look good to me. So I'd say, hey, Michael, man, what do you think? He goes, oh, that's got like 47 cents. I'm like, 47. I paid $120 for the box. What do you mean 47 cents? Yeah, you know, you win some, you lose some. I've lost every single time. So I'm out.
All right.
That's
and on that note.
So I got like this, you know, Bryce Harper out of 5 card, has his autograph on it. I got lucky. Like, so I just got back into cards. So that thing should pull a G around April.
That card?
You should, yeah. So even
tell,
more.
Tell them about all your rookie cards you have.
Oh, like Iverson, Kobe, LeBron.
You got so Kobe?
Yeah. So I got a stack of Kobe's, and then I just sent 2 LeBron rookie cards out. So you sent them to get graded by this company that says, okay, this is mint or whatever. So look up those bad boys, and you know.
Oh, no, just go ahead, go tell them. Tell them.
What they're running for, man. Come on.
I could probably sell those without them being graded, like a G probably.
But now be graded. Now tell them graded.
Graded? Maybe 10 if it's mint.
$10,000.
And that's right now.
I'm like, yeah, I'm in. I'm in.
You bought all the new stuff.
I buy these new cards and I'm out. I am out.
Let me see. Let me look it up real quick. What you got?
I have a friend whose dad used to collect this stuff. His dad passed away, but he has all these cards.
Let me see. It's not showing, but anyway, one is 30 grand, one is 14 grand, and that's graded.
You have those?
We'll see what you it comes back. But go ahead, Naki. So you're.
Man, what you waiting on,
I'm
man?
Sick. I'm sick to my stomach right now.
What you waiting on, man?
I got a 47 cent card over here.
Why you hanging on? I have no cards, man. Why you hanging on to that, man?
I've got 4 of those.
You need to go ahead and.
I got him back when he was a rookie. I tucked him away, and then I busted him out when I got back into this and looked him up. I was like, oh.
I mean, and the whole thing about Kobe, and you got his rookie card. Oh, bro.
Yeah, his are chilling. Yeah.
All right, you guys. We're about
Are you sitting on something?
I hope so. All right.
He's like, lost in the mail. Lost in the mail.
Sent them to Texas.
Oh, they're like, never got them.
That's what I said. If they showed up, I'm like, oh, man.
They're like, this is mint, but we never got it.
You know, President Trump threw away a bunch of mailboxes, so it's in one of those. All right, you guys. It's good seeing you.
3, 2, 1.
Digging
in the crates.
Digging
in the crates. Digging in the crates. Digging in the crates. Let's take it back.